looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at the Beatitudes of Jesus, how he begins when he has all of these people following him at the beginning of his ministry. And these are the first things that come out of his mouth in his first major sermon. And last week, we did kind of a tough one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Tried to figure out how to define that. We talked about, I didn't use this word because I don't like some of the things it's associated with, but I'm using it today. We were talking about the depravity of who we are. Okay? Meaning, we are really nothing apart from who Jesus is. And we are lost and we are broken. And blessed are those who they don't live their lives down and out because of it, but they humbly, they with this chesed, this humble, loving kindness of God, understand how much that He loves them and how much that they need Him. So blessed is the man who gets how empty he really is, so that God may fill that cup up, all right? And that person, for them, is the kingdom of heaven. Even here on earth, they get a taste of that thing Jesus prayed for, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, John Piper was pretty awesome, pretty amazing, pretty well-known pastor. And here's the deal. He takes the first two, this is the guy that dissects every word of every verse, all right? Took him like 8 years in his church to preach through Romans. I don't know if that's exactly right, but it was long, all right? Y'all thought we were in Acts for like, 13 months, and we're all like, oh, all right, that 8 years through a book, all right? And he'll say like three words at a time. But when he preached on these, he actually did one and two together. Did all the rest of them separate, but then one and two together. And his sermon was called Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit Who Mourn. Okay? And there is a keen understanding there that I want you to get. But when I look at this, Jesus never does anything, he doesn't do anything by chance, if that makes sense. And a lot of times when we're supposed to do things like that or take things together, there'll be some kind of literary difference or some kind of comma or some kind of period. And there's not. The first one is different from the second one, is different from the third one, is different from the fourth one. The things they have in common, they have in common with all of them. So I chose, because of that, not to take them together. But I choose to lean on some wisdom there in helping us understand the part of this message that we think just by definition it should be this. But out of context, that's wrong. In context with the first verse, it is much more correct. So the verse for this morning is this. Blessed are those who mourn. And it'll be up there. It's the next slide. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Tim, can you do that for me? Put the next slide up there. And that'll stay up there. And what we're going to do is I want to define mourn. Because when we say the word mourn, most of us immediately jump to a funeral. Death. By for good reason, alright? There are mourning processes. Mourning attire. Mourning things we've all seen on TV, like cultural things, like sitting Shiva for someone. All right? Being with your family, sharing a meal, going through the grieving process. All that has to do with mourning. And on the next slide, I typed into Google mourn and asked for the definition. All right? They were longer than this, but this is how they started. To feel or to show deep sorrow or regret for. Okay? Got it? You feel or you show a deep sorrow or regret for. And in most cases, that is losing someone. Or you feel regret or sadness about something that happens. Now, here's the difference between sadness or between grief. Mourning is overwhelming. Mourning is expanded, dynamic, pronounced grief. Mourning affects you. Have you ever seen someone cry? If you've seen someone cry, raise their hand. hand. Raise your hand right now. All right. Now, have you ever seen someone ugly cry? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Because some are like, oh, and I think it was me. We haven't even would honestly say, I'm an ugly crier. All right. Hey, welcome to church. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Mourning, true mourning, literally causes most of us to ugly cry. It comes from a deep place in your heart of grief, of loss, of hopelessness. There is no patting your buddy on the shoulder and saying things like, I'm sorry for your loss. You see, we can do that with empathy. We can. Some people do it because it's tradition. Some people do it because they're genuinely sorry. Some people do it because they share in the loss with them. But mourners, we got nodding here. There are people in the room who actually understand that the depths of something that hurts you, something that is ripped away from you, and again, a lot of times it is people that hurts you deeply. Okay? I needed to take you there to understand mourning. Now, here's the problem. Everybody who has experienced that, some of you who are still working through that, I know that. I know this is not going to be an easy message for you. I would apologize, but I can't because there's joy in the end. All right? I needed you to feel, to grab hold of that place in your life. And then to contrast that with what Jesus does. He says, congratulations. Remember last week we were talking about what blessed really means? He says, joy to you. Blessings to you. A trophy, an award coming to you who mourn. Now, those of us now you guys are ready to hear the sermon because here's what's happening. You're like, that doesn't fit for me. Right, Brother Dale? Yeah, I'm with you, brother. I know. It doesn't fit for you, does it? You love Jesus, but it doesn't fit for him to say, that's what I'm talking about. Because we don't buy into a Jesus who needs us to feel that kind of pain. That's not the Jesus we want to sell to the world, right? So, either we take Jesus our way, but that is dangerous. It's never going to work to take Jesus away. Or, we take it for what it is. We take him for who he is, and we find out why. And that's what I want to offer you this morning. Why did Jesus say, blessed, the rivers runneth into you, those who mourn? Okay? Couple of things. Number one, let's go ahead and get the elephants out of the room and let's address the type of mourning that we as human beings deal with. Okay? Because I need to be very honest with you. Some of us mourn good things. Okay? Things that are worth mourning. You ready? Some of us mourn things that aren't. You can mourn things that ought not be mourned. Things, I don't even have to go deeply into this. There are people who are genuinely right now mourning some of this political madness. They're genuinely, in their spirit, overwhelmed to the point of grief over some of the bad morning. And not just they woke up to a bad morning. It is literally bad morning. That is a waste of the emotion and of the time and of the hope and of the joy that Christ calls us to. It is a waste. It is why God says do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition present your request to God and the peace will come over you. It is why God said, worry about anything. Check out the birds. Are they worried? Did they wake up this morning and go, and their wings, rub their wings together and go, oh, I don't know if I'm going to find a word today. No. And mistake, and I am not being, because I love you, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes we mourn because we miss somebody. No, in here, that is absolutely okay. Okay? But there is something that you have got to get. The closer that you get to Jesus. And I'm not talking about I go to church, I listen to sermons. I've been doing it for 20 years. That's not it. I'm talking about the closer you get to God. The walking with God that Adam and Eve once had that we're working toward. The walking with God that Enoch got. I'm talking about the I know Him. I don't know about Him. I know Him. The closer that you get to that, there is some understanding that comes with it. And that is this. I want to imagine something with you. Some of us think, and I don't mean to burst your bubble, but some of us think that you know, you die, and you know, old school television, Michael Landon, Highway to Heaven. You die and you become an angel. False. That's like saying a kangaroo dies and becomes a rhinoceros. Well, Craig, why would you say that? Because they're literally two different creatures. The angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, are heavenly beings that exist in the heavenly realms to bring praise and glory to God and on occasion fight on behalf of God, the principalities and powers of darkness, and occasionally are messengers to people we read about in scriptures, okay? They're different creatures, all right? But what we do know about them is they have been around for a long time and they understand heaven. They get being with God. They know about how awesome is the Lord Most High, okay? And let's assume for a minute, now you're going to go with your fictional tale, let's assume for a minute that God says to one chubby little cute angel, I need you to go down to earth. I have a mission for you. Okay? And that chubby little cute angel, because he's an angel, he obeys God, says, I will be glad to do it. All right? Jesus, tell me about it. And he starts telling him about the world, about buildings, and about trees. And he tells him about some of the good things. Waterfalls, sunrises, oceans, dolphins, all right? Mountains, breezes. And the angel gets excited. The angel knows that there are bad things too. But the angel comes down to earth, and the angel enjoys earth, and the angel hurts on earth, and he doesn't like that because he never hurt in heaven. And the angel experiences sadness, and he doesn't like that because he never experienced that in heaven, all right? And then all of a sudden, he's eternal, by the way, he's been around for millions and millions of years, all of a sudden, it's time for him to go back home. Now, you've got to love with some people. He likes some things. But that angel goes away. He's back where he belongs with all the things that he knows, with no more pain, with no more hurt, with no more all celebration, all God, all the time. If I went, man, I know that angel wants to be back down here where there's pain, back down here where there's mourning, back down here in his secondary location, not where he belongs, not home. I want him to be back here. Would that be right of me? Would it be right of me to say, I want that angel back here because I like him and I think that angel wants to be back here? Would that be right of me? Do you get where this is going? For we are aliens and strangers to this world. It is not our home.
Amen.
I am not. If you run out of here and say, I don't like that guy because he said, I lost my spouse, I lost my child, I lost my unborn, and he said that I was supposed to be happy about it. No. Do you understand that you can grieve and have joy at the same time? If you don't, my challenge to you is get to know God.
What? How dare you?
No, I'm challenging you to get to know God. Because my God said there's a time to laugh and a time to mourn, a time to dance and a time to sit still. There is a season for everything, and you don't get to make it a buffet. That is wrong. It is not a buffet. I'll take happiness. I'll take joy. No mourning. No, no. You understand all of the depths of God and the kingdom coming when you understand that God gives us peace and He gives us turmoil. He gives us love and He gives us pain. He gives us gift and He gives us loss. And understanding that loss sometimes leads you to a greater understanding of what loving something is than you could have ever imagined. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So there is a time when we need to turn our mourning into dancing. We need to celebrate all the things that we cannot give those who have gone before us, because they've got more than we could ever fathom. Okay. Everybody take a deep breath. I mean this. Everybody take a deep breath. Craig, what if they're not in heaven?
Between us and the one who created us to be.
That is what Jesus was calling for. Show me the man who is so in love with God and so in love with people that he mourns on a regular basis their souls, their loss, the pain that is and the pain that will be. The struggles that I see on Facebook, the hatred between the liberals and the conservatives, the right and the left, ought not make me angry. It ought make me weep. And if that weeping is not, I'm sorry for your loss. But if that weeping is not, I've been there, partner, and I'll stand here with you. But if that weeping is from the depths of your soul, can be defined as mourning, Jesus says, those are my people. And I promise you, I will be your comfort. Does that make sense? Blessed are those who mourn. It does not detract from the fact that in your loss, God cannot be the provider of your comfort. God can heal your soul. God can make it well. And he never asks you to stop missing. He never asks you to stop the little reminder stick. But he does say, maybe it should be like fasting. You know, when you're hungry, you're reminded to pray. When you're hungry, you're reminded to do. Maybe when it stings a little bit, you should hurt for a minute, and then you should go, like Crazy Cooter on the Dukes of Hazzard. My baby's with Jesus. She doesn't hurt anymore. She's dancing. She's waiting. He's waiting. Thou shalt turn my mourning into dance. Thou hast girded me with gladness. Blessed are those who mourn for the pain, for the loss, for the hopelessness. And lastly, blessed are those who mourn for the depth of sin in their soul. I have to have some long, probably difficult, because they're just going to be working out, not difficult like you're thinking, difficult like how do we work this out, conversations with Spencer, who's, I don't think he's in here, he's working kids, and Stephen, and Cy, who's not in here, and Jane, because I think that God has laid the next series, I say late. God has dropped the anvil of the next series upon me heart. And I'm going to be as honest as I can be. I don't get scared. I am. Flat out, know full well that in any 90 churches out of 100 that I try to preach this message in, it wouldn't make it through the deacons. And then the other 5% that it made it through, I'd get fired from. Am I scared of that happening here? Nope. Am I scared of the mourning and Max Lucado wrote a book called On the Anvil. And the intro to the book is about tools. There are tools that are on the floor, broken, can't be used right now. There are tools that are on the wall that the blacksmith has crafted and made new. And then there are tools that are on the anvil. In order for them to be there, they've had to be stuck in hundreds of thousands of degrees of fire. And then beaten upon. That's kind of what I'm getting ready to lay all of us on. And I've got to talk through that. I've got to be ready for that. So I think after God blesses us, He's going to unveil. I think it's going to be called unveil. And He's going to unveil the reality of who we are to us. And in doing so, He's going to invite all of the people who are outside these doors who are just like us. Right here with us. To be made whole. To be made well. To be made good. Blessed are those who mourn. The emptiness, the burdens, the sin, the bad thoughts, the horrific things that we hide inside us. Blessed are those who mourn. Like this. Psalm of David. After the prophet Nathan came to him. After he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And after he had sent her husband off to be murdered. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love and great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away from me all my iniquity. Please cleanse me of my sin. I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. You hear what he's saying? I feel dirty. It's like ink. It's like ink, and it's growing through the threads of who I am. God, bleach it, blot it. Boy, yearning, blessed are you. You truly find that. Because you will truly find comfort. Let's pray.